Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to this holy half hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. So, would you say that you were honest? If you answer yes, how do I know that you're telling the truth? If you answer yes, are you being honest with yourself even? Do you feel it's important to be honest? Would you ever tell lies? Yes, dear, you look lovely in that dress. Honest. Tonight's programme is about morality, being good, Christian ethics. Some folk have no idea about ethics. They think it's a county down in England next to Thuthick. So let me test you a bit. Indeed, test yourself. Try out these questions. If you saw someone dropping litter, would you A. nag them, B. pick it up, or C. say nothing? Be honest. If someone asked you, how do I look, and they looked terrible, would you say, you look lovely, you look terrible, or just change the subject? Would you give an old person your seat on the bus if it was full? Be honest, yes, no, sometimes. If you saw someone being cruel to an animal, would you say or do nothing? Would you say something to the person, or would you go and report it to somebody? You find a purse with £100 in it, what would you do? Would you keep it, or give it away, or hand it in to the police? A group of pupils standing outside school were saying nasty things about a teacher. Should you join in, tell them to stop, or stay quiet and say nothing? Life isn't easy. Here's Katie Mellowa singing about the fact that life can be like a tangled spider's web.
If a black man is racist, is it okay? If it's a white man's racism that made him that way? 'Cause the bully is the victim, they say. By some sense, they're all the same. 'Cause the spider's web, the piano keys are black and white, but they sound like a million colors in your mind. I could tell you to go to war, or I could march for peace and fighting. When he sends you to fight, 'cause the line between wrong and right is the width of a thread from a spider's web. The piano keys are black and white, but they sound like a million colors. Chase the moments away. piano keys are black and white, but they sound like a million colors in your mind.
When I was a new minister, just 6 weeks in the job, I was a minister in a fairly rough area, and I went to a fairly rough street in that area. And it was a dark winter's night. It was a tenement, and it was a place I'd never been to before. And I was kicking my way up the dark steps, and I knocked on the door. When the door was answered, the people who answered the door just said, "Go in," and they walked out. So then I went in, and then a voice said, "Just come in." And I found myself standing in a bedroom, alone, with a young woman sitting up in bed, wearing a nightdress. She said, "Sit down," but there was nowhere to sit except on the bed. You're enjoying this, aren't you? She started to tell me all her troubles. She had a boyfriend. He wasn't in tonight because he was in Berlini prison giving Her Majesty pleasure. But she was worried because he would be getting out soon, and her wee son was starting to call him Daddy, but of course he wasn't really his dad. So suddenly, in the course of telling me all her troubles, she said to me, "Mr. Noble, some people say that I live in sin. What is the sin in living in sin?" And I just froze. In a split second, I silently prayed, "Help God, what do I say next? This is another fine mess you've got me into." In a flash, I replied, "I think it's all the things you've just been telling me. But what is the sin in sin?" On another occasion, three lovely teenage girls in the high school said to me, "Why should we be good? It's not that we want to be bad, but we're just fed up with people wagging their fingers in our faces, preaching to us, 'Be good, don't be bad.' But no one can ever explain what is good about good and what is bad about bad. When we say, 'But why, Dad?' all we get is, 'Cause I say so.'" They were three very nice girls, well behaved. They just wanted to understand more about right and wrong. So, why be good? We all have these questions and dilemmas. What is right and what is wrong? How do we know? Even when you know, it's not always easy to do the right thing. Life is full of ethical issues and moral dilemmas. And having a Christian faith should surely help, but often it seems to just complicate things.
Open a Bible and move toward the light. The word.
There are so many ethical issues in life, from abortion at the beginning to euthanasia at the end and everything in between. Some people say schools should do more to teach children the right and wrong of things. Some people say churches should do more to preach about right and wrong and give society clear moral guidance. But we live in an age when people don't like anyone telling them what to do. The Bible's not like the Quran. The Bible's not a set of rules, clear, rigid, with fixed penalties. Life is not that neat, cut and dried. The church no longer disciplines like in Robert Burns's time, putting them on the stool and preaching at them at the front. Jesus didn't run around condemning sinners. On the contrary, he had tea with them, like Zacchaeus. He wasn't so interested in condemning as in converting and changing. Jesus didn't lay down fixed rules. The teaching of Jesus is a compass rather than an ordinance map. Jesus taught in parables, which required folk to work it out themselves. He taught in principles and required folk to apply them. But more than that even, he calls people to just follow him. He is the way, the truth and the life. It's not so much about rules and principles, it's more just following him. I am the way, follow me, says Jesus. Our aim is to be Christ-like. Augustine put it this way, he said, love God and do as you like, because if you love God, you will do the right thing. More of a curb on misbehaviour is the idea that we're breaking God's heart rather than breaking his rules. When Peter's eye met Jesus, he went out and he wept bitterly. When it comes to ethics and morals, right and wrong, we have two basic issues. There's knowing what to do and what to be, and then there's having the courage to go and do it and to be it. I'd like to suggest that there are three levels of morality. The first level is the morality of the toddler. Mum and dad say, do this, do that, cause we say so. Or you join the army, and yours is not to reason why, yours is but to do and die. Ironically, in our individualistic, selfish, unruly age, many people like things kept at this level. because it's black and white, it's clear, it's simple, it's uncomplicated. It requires no thinking. If this is what you like, then the Bible does have 10 commandments, non-negotiable. It's not any 6 from 10, it's all 10. It's quite clear, do not steal, do not kill, do not covet, and so on. However, even they are not so simple to carry out, and they're not quite so simple to interpret. Is it stealing if your financial advisor finds you a way to avoid paying tax, which is quite legal but is a loophole? Is it stealing if you park for 10 minutes over your meter time and then come back so relieved but you don't put in a little contribution for the extra 10 minutes? The Ten Commandments are just the contents page of the Book of the Covenant, which extends to many chapters in Exodus and other Old Testament books. So it isn't actually so short and simple as you might think. And the Sermon on the Mount takes the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Covenant much further. Jesus says, it's not just about the rules. You can sin in your heart and in your mind with your thoughts. Don't even think about it.
In Cumberland, Kentucky, on a cool autumn evening, Billy lay in love with Mary Ann. She was a rich judge's daughter. He was the son of a miner. But that night their love was more than they could stand. The judge said to his daughter, that son of that coal miner is someone you'd do well to leave alone. She knew her dad so well, she knew she couldn't tell, but the truth was bound to show before too long. Their love had started growing on its own. You can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law. Billy placed his hand on Mary, and he felt the baby moving. Kissed her and said, I'll see you when I can. The judge had made a promise when he caught up with Billy, he'd send him far away from Mary Ann. The whole town knew he'd do it. Too many times he had proved it to at least 100 men behind the wall. He'd smile behind that frown, and when he brought that gavel down, he called himself the long arm of the law. And he'd set his mind on seeing Billy fall. In a hot and humid mine shack, a midwife pulled the sheet back and placed a cool damp towel on Mary Ann. Billy's eyes were wide with wonder from the spell he was under when she placed the newborn baby in his hands. He didn't hear the siren, just the baby crying. That miracle of love is all he saw. When the door came crashing down and Billy turned around, he felt the heart and soul inside him fall. He stood face to face with the long arm of the law. You can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law. Now for a while, he says with a smile, but you can't outrun the long arm of the law. Seemed like everybody down in Cumberland, Kentucky came out that day to see poor Billy's trial. The court was called to order. There sat the judge's daughter. She looked so proud holding Billy's child. When they brought Billy to him, the judge just looked right through him as he held that holy Bible in his hand. And he smiled at his grandson, then his eyes cut back to Billy, said, I think this time the law will understand. Son, I sentence you to life with Mary Ann. You can't outrun.
run the long arm of the law. No, you cannot run the long arm of the law. He said to Billy with a smile, I know you hit out for a while, but you can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law.
The first level of morality is that of the toddler, the just do this and do that, because I say so. And sometimes people, as adults, like it nice and simple, black and white. The second level of morality is more of the teenager, when you realise that mum and dad sometimes make mistakes too, and life isn't just black and white and simple. You start to realise how complicated it is. The Bible gives us principles rather than rules, but we can misinterpret them and we can misapply them. If we rely on the law of nature, just common decency, we realise it varies widely from culture to culture, from family to family. What about relying on conscience? No conscience can be trained. Hitler and Stalin got to sleep at night. There's the wisdom of the ages, but then that's a very vague thing. There's corporate wisdom, asking other people for their advice, but then you ask 10 people, you might get 10 opinions. There's church teaching, but then the church doesn't always speak with one voice. There's the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but how can you be sure that you're not just wishfully thinking and making your own thoughts rather than God's thoughts? There's the principles of Jesus, but then folk have argued over what Jesus said for a long time. Love one another as I have loved you. Do to others what you'd like others to do to you. But then how do you apply that in any one situation? And so on.
He rode easy in the saddle, he was tall and lean, and at first you thought nothing but a streak of mean could make a man look so downright strong, but one look in his eyes and you knowed you was wrong. He was a mountain of a man, and I want you to know he could preach hot hell or freezing snow. He carried a Bible in a canvas sack, and the folks just called him the Reverend Mr. Black. He was poor as a beggar, but he rode like a king. Sometimes in the evening I could hear him sing. I got to walk that lonesome valley. I got to walk it by myself. Oh, nobody else can walk it for me. I got to walk it by myself. If ever I could have thought that this man in black was soft, had any yellow up his back, I gave that notion up the day a lumberjack came in and it wasn't a prey. Yeah, he kicked open the meeting house door and he cussed everybody up and down the floor. And then when things got quiet in the place, he walked up and cussed in the preacher's face. He hit that reverend like the kick of a mule, and to my way of thinking, it took a pure fool to turn the other cheek to that lumberjack. Well, that's what he did, the Reverend Mr. Black. He stood like a rock, a man among men. Then he let that lumberjack hit him again. And then with a voice as kind as could be, he cut him down like a big oak tree when he said, you got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. Oh, nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. It's been many years since we had to part, and I guess I learned his ways by heart. I can still hear his sermons ring down in the valley where he used to sing. I followed him, yes sir, and I don't regret it. I hope that I'll always be a credit to his memory, because I want you to understand the Reverend Mr. Black was my old man. You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. Oh, nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. To walk it by yourself.
And that brings us to the third level of morality, the full mature adult. Being a Christian is not about keeping rules and getting a pass mark or a high score. Being a Christian is not about knowing how to apply all the principles and attaining wisdom and sainthood. Being a Christian is being humble, repentant as a sinner, being a disciple of the Master, following Jesus. Jesus sets us free from rules and regulations, even ideals and targets, do's and don'ts, musts and should-be's and have-to's, the yacht club, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, levels of attainment, scores of wrong, the bookkeeping God relationship. Rather, we live in His love, in His mercy, in His grace, in His forgiveness and acceptance and embrace. Like returned prodigal sons, we don't have a leg to stand on, we've no valid excuses, nothing to be proud of, just a catalogue of wrong choices behind us. But we are sorry. We're willing to admit our mistakes. We're ready to accept our Heavenly Father's love and forgiveness, the fatted calf and the feast. And we are set free. Free from sin. Free to love and to be loved. To love God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. Not free to please ourselves and do what we like and sin all the more, but free to follow Jesus, to obey Him, to seek His will, to please Him. Right and wrong are no longer things, concepts, but rather doing His will rather than our will, doing what pleases Him rather than what would break His heart. So I leave you now with Ian White and the Gaithers. Bye for now. See you next time.
In everything that I do, show me what Jesus would do. In everything that I do, show me what Jesus would do. I will not be afraid, for I can always pray. Show me what Jesus would do. In everything that I do, show me what Jesus would do. In everything that I do, show me what Jesus would do. I will not be afraid, for I can always pray. Show me what Jesus would do. Show me what Jesus would do. Show me what Jesus would do.